Hey, so you may have noticed something off with last month's release schedule. Or maybe you didn't notice, in which case, good. That's the goal. We're just going to keep moving like everything's fine, which is, coincidentally, also the strategy I use at Disney World. More on that in a second. First, welcome to That's Our Show, the podcast where two Gen X guys talk about whatever the hell we want, occasionally getting distracted by our actual lives. I'm Glenn, Jim is somewhere doing something, I don't know. This is a mini-sode, back in the slot where it belongs. Today, I want to talk about Disney World, specifically the version of Disney World that exists in 2026, as experienced by a Gen X dad, self-proclaimed Disney adult, and planner extraordinaire. That last part is important. I am not a Disney novice. Gina and I went on our honeymoon. We've been back multiple times since. This was Ollie's third trip. I have spreadsheets. I have opinions about rope drop strategy. I once spent an entire evening cross-referencing Lightning Lane availability windows with dining reservation times. And Disney still found new ways to humble me. Every single trip. Let me back up. We stayed at Bonnet Creek this time, which is a resort adjacent to Disney property rather than on it. First time since the honeymoon not staying on site. And I want to tell you, when you've been spoiled by the Disney bubble, the buses, the monorail, the whole hermetically sealed experience, even staying just outside that bubble has consequences, mostly involving paying for a lot of rideshare. Also, we tried to order dinner in on arrival night. After a long day of travel, everybody tired. I had the app open, I had a plan. An hour later, Uber Eats just canceled the order. No explanation, just gone. After a certain amount of complaining that I will not reproduce here, I just ordered a pizza. We survived. Disney World hadn't even started yet for us, and it was already doing this to me. 3 days this trip. Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot. One park per day, which sounds manageable until you're in it. Magic Kingdom was packed. We had breakfast reservations basically at park open, which is a good strategy in theory. You're already inside, you're ahead of the crowds, you have Mickey waffles and character meats. And then from that we went for Tron. Now, Tron Light Cycle Run. I want to be clear about something. Tron is not a ride. Tron is a statement. You straddle a motorcycle, pull down this restraint onto your back, the lights go down, and then the thing just launches. 90 seconds maybe, extremely fast, really loud, just crazy. When it was over, I sat there for a moment going, what just happened to me? I loved it. Ollie gave it an immediate thumbs up and wanted to go again. I did give it a thumbs up, but I needed to sit down for a bit. That is the correct generational response. The rest of Magic Kingdom went pretty well. We took a late afternoon break at the resort, which off-property is slightly more complicated than it sounds, but we made it work. Cooked and ate dinner at the resort, got a quick nap in, and came back for the evening. And then we made the classic mistake. We kept doing one more ride. Every parent who's been to Disney knows this trap. You're heading for the exit and you think, one more. It's right there. The line's short. One more. It was not one more. It was several more. We missed the fireworks, which we had decided to skip in favor of rides, which was the right call in the abstract. But by the time we actually left the park, navigated transportation back to Bonnet Creek and got Ollie into bed, it was late. Very late. There were consequences the next morning. So that next morning, Hollywood Studios Day, is where the Ollie factor hit really hard. Ollie is 10. He's funny and sarcastic and has a running critical commentary on basically everything. He is also, when he has decided he wants a specific thing, extremely committed to that position. Hollywood Studios has Slinky Dog Dash. Ollie wanted Slinky Dog Dash. The only thing I wanted at the park was a late afternoon stop at Oga's Cantina. Ollie did not want that. He did want a Chewbacca meet and greet, which we were coincidentally passing right at the time of our Oga's reservations. So he had to miss that, which he was not happy about. But we were managing the timing well, finishing up at Oga's, and we were fine. We were going to make it to Slinky Dog. But Ollie had decided we were not going to make it, and began to express this view. Repeatedly, loudly, with feeling. We were, in fact, going to make it. But by that point, the decision had been made. We canceled his special dinner reservation for that night, Whispering Canyon Cafe, which he had been looking forward to. This is what we call in the parenting game a natural consequence, and also what we call we were not going to sit through an entire dinner of people shouting, "Ketchup!" after that. We almost ended up without dinner entirely. I called for a hard reset after we were all getting cranky. We went to Kona Cafe at the Polynesian instead, waited maybe an hour for a table, had a later than planned but genuinely good meal, and by the time we were done, Ollie had returned to being a human being. It's remarkable how quickly they bounce back. He did, for the record, ride Slinky Dog Dash. I did not. So Epcot was the smoothest day. I say this while also noting that we got absolutely drenched walking out of the park at the end of the night, bought dry clothes at Beach Club, and took a lift back to the resort with our hair still dripping. But before that, genuinely smooth. Here's the thing about Epcot. I have a complicated relationship with what they've done to it. The original Epcot was this strange, optimistic, quasi-educational tribute to human innovation and world culture. It was weird and ambitious and unlike anything else. And over the years, they've been filling it in. Frozen, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratatouille, Moana, and the result is that Epcot is now sort of what it was, but also bursting with IP and branding. But, and this is important, the construction walls are down. For the first time in what felt like years, pretty sure it actually was years, you could actually see the park. And what I saw was, it's beautiful. World Showcase at dusk, the lights on the lagoon, Ollie eating sushi at the Japan Pavilion because that kid will choose sushi over almost anything. Dinner at Le Cellier that ran right through park closing. And then the skies opened up. We walked out into a wall of rain, just completely drenched by the time we reached Beach Club. We wrung out our socks in a restroom off the lobby. Gina and I bought dry shirts. Ollie chose some dry pajamas. In retrospect, kind of hilarious, but at the time, very wet. Certainly going to be a core memory for Ollie. Oh, also on Epcot Day, Ratatouille. First time for all of us, and I want to go on record. Ratatouille is one of my favorite movies, not just Disney movies. And the ride was certainly enjoyable. You're shrunk down to rat size, scurrying through Gaston's kitchen. I was surprised at the amount of dialogue in French. Maybe they just transported it over from the original in Disneyland Paris as is, but it is gentle and whimsical, and I enjoyed it unreasonably. I have zero embarrassment about this. Here's the thing about Disney World in 2026. It is expensive. It requires homework. The Lightning Lane system has replaced the relatively simple Fast Pass with something that requires not only money, but active management throughout the day, or you end up standing in line for an hour watching everyone else glide past on their phones looking smug. The skills I've built up over the years, and I do have a particular set of skills, it doesn't always translate when the rules change. And yet, I've been going to Disney World since I was a kid. I've been going with Gina since our honeymoon, back when there were still smoking sections in the parks, if you want a timestamp on how long that's been. I have a lot of Disney trips in my body, and somehow, every time, the place finds a way to earn it. Despite inevitable problems, just spending time there gives me a calm, happy feeling deep down. Even when Uber Eats abandons you, even when you stay 30 minutes too late and miss the last shuttle, even when you're standing in a resort gift shop in soaking wet socks at 10 at night. Especially then, maybe. Okay, that's the minisode. Jim and I will be back later this month with a full episode. Maybe. I'm leaving it up to you to remind us. Yes, you. You know who you are. Anyway, I'm Glenn. This has been a That's Our Show minisode. Thanks for listening. That's Our Show was brought to you by The Backstage Group. Engineered by Jim Belserik and edited by Glenn Reed. You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link. please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, that's our show.